how God calls us to be good stewards of His giftings. Yes, He is liberal and He is generous to give us what we need, what we need to be provisioned for, to be all that God calls us to be here in our lives now and in our life here as a congregation, as a church. So let me get my clicker, turn it on, and then look, where are we at? Yeah, there's the broccoli and beans. Remember that? It was sung by the kids. I wanted to have a good picture of it. One before is the cabbages and greens. Nice to have the pictures of that. So we're unwrapping God's gifts and want to understand His purpose for us in His kingdom. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing to know that we all have been empowered and gifted to be what God wants us to be. And He's a generous God who loves us to be generous people, and He's done this so that we can truly give and pour out into the world love, grace, mercy, the things that the world is hungry for, that it needs, and is far beyond physical needs, is far beyond the food that we're looking at harvest time. It's about God being a provider and being the one who provisions us always so that we can be the body of Christ. I love this picture of the fingerprint of God with the cross. He puts that fingerprint upon us so we can be the body of Christ, and He pours these things out. He views His church as a multifaceted and talented group. You understand that? He views His church as a multifaceted and talented group. He never determined what any farmer in Israel was going to do with their land. So He sent Israel to the promised land, right? And then they were to plant whatever crops they could plant. They were to grow what they felt they were good at growing. So a vineyard was maybe somebody who was really good at growing the grapes and producing what that vineyard had. Another person was really good at wheat. Or, you know, I like to ask the question when I hear about someone who grew up on a farm in Iowa, what did you grow? What did you have? You know, whether it was soybeans, or did you have some animals? Did you have some fruits or whatever that is? And God also never told the man with the talents what to do with them. Remember the parable of Jesus talking about the talents. He said He gave 10 talents to the one, 5 talents to the other, and 1 talent to the other. And He told him to go out. I mean, the master says, here are the talents. And really, it's a picture of God giving us. But He never tells us what to do. He doesn't specify. You know, we're all trying to find our way, find our path in life. He gives great freedom. He gives us great, perfect freedom to work out for ourselves how to conduct ourselves in enterprising work, in doing what will be fruitful for us and for the kingdom of God. So He's very much tuned in to us, and He wants us to be set free to serve and to find our place where we're really going to flourish. And that isn't the same for everybody. And you always want to be sure that people are where their gifts are so that they can experience freedom in Christ. And we can go and be all that we're meant to be, even better than the recruitment slogan for the military, you know, be all that you can be. In freedom in Christ, we want this to be where we live for God and live for each other in a way that truly brings about blessing and goodness. God grants liberally to empower His people to be fulfilling His mission and living life well. God empowers. It is what He does. He's generously giving to us so that we can generously give back to the world and give of our time and resources in a generous way. So this slogan is great. Live generously. Give what God's given to you, and He will see you flourish. Your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Let us pray, and we're going to then get into the great passage about the body of Christ, the passage in 1 Corinthians 12. Dear Lord, thank You that You are God who's generous to empower us to be set free, to do our calling in the world, to be of service, to be a blessing to others, to be a body of Christ that's able to flourish in this place. And thank you, Lord, because you have provided. Even talking about how was it possible that our small congregation here was able to put new air conditioners on our roof. Well, that's because people were gifted and able to see down the future to prepare for that. And people have been very generous in giving of their stewarding their financial resources so that this church has granted those things. But Lord, there's much more than that. We've had people speak into people's lives through teaching, through worship, through administrating, through serving on council, through giving church wisdom and advice to one another, encouraging one another, sharing the burdens we have with each other, Lord, so that they can be lifted up. Thank you that in the body of Christ, we are many multiple different parts. None of us are the same, but we are called by you, Lord, empowered by you to be able to do what you want us to do and to live up to your standard. Thank you, Lord, for that provision. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are reading 1 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 12, and we're reading to the end of the chapter. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Perhaps, let me pause a moment and translate. Living in the islands, we can maybe be inter-island rivals. I remember I arrived with a Hawaiian shirt, and people in Guam said, "Don't, that's not a thing of pride, you know. We're Guamanians, we're not Hawaiians." So each island represents a different group, people group, and there are many different languages here. Palau, and Punapai, and Kasarai, and Yap, and Chuuk, and it multiplies beyond that, you know. We are one in Christ, and the body is made up of many different parts. So verse 14, "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. For if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye,'" "I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?" I think you've changed it over. Good, to verse 17. That's good. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of smell be?" Sorry, verse 18. "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. They were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I don't need you,' and the head cannot say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" We'll switch it over here. I'll do it. Verse 22. "On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." I'll switch over. Slide. Final slide, verse 27. "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Remember, I'll repeat that verse. "And you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? And the answer is no. That's not true for any of us, not all of us. We're given to each other, to help each other. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And I separated that last part, and I put 1 Corinthians 13. We love 1 Corinthians 13 because it shows us the way of love. Love is greater than faith and hope. Love is the greatest thing of all. And that's what Paul is leading up to. He's saying the body of Christ is built so we can be filled with love and we can express that love. And it doesn't matter if you're able to do prophecies, if you're able to speak in tongues, or you see deeply spiritually, you know, if you're having no love, you're an empty gong. You're a sounding cymbal. You have no substance. The reality is love. So with that, let's carry on with our reflecting on this. We're going to be the body of Christ. The body of Christ is really multifaceted, and it has many different parts. And the body of Christ in the world is going to make this world transformed into the kingdom of God for better, for worse. And sometimes, because it's the body of Christ, there will come enmity and opposition. There will come persecution. And sometimes the body of Christ has been terribly persecuted, and people have been driven from their homes, and they have suffered. But the important thing to remember is that God has given us unique giftings and unique roles. Unique giftings and unique roles. This is the wonderful lesson of the body analogy Paul uses here. He wants us to be sure we all feel honored and dignified by what we do in our participation in the body of Christ. Your unique gifts and talents, do you know them? And are you using them? And we pray that God does help you find them, and God helps you flourish in them, and that the church empowers you, helps you be able to be empowered by God fully in using them. And again, in James 3, 17 and 18 is a passage which reminds us there's dignity and honor in our community of faith. To guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride, it's part of a hymn. And I think it's beautiful. It is, if we don't do that with each other, if we're not honoring each other, then we are failing to be the body of Christ. We are here to serve each other, to wash each other's feet, and to lift each other up, and to consider one better than yourself. And that is a powerful, powerful thing. What really does not matter is how much success or failure you have out there in the world. It doesn't matter if you've just come back and you've won the top prize. Hillary and I were at Harvest. We were watching them give out prizes to the class of who did the best in this, this, and that. And you could see people going up the ladder to the highest prize. And you know that anyone who feels like they didn't get the highest prize feels second best. You know, that's just the way it naturally works. The world works that way, but not here in the body of Christ. Doesn't matter how much success or failure you have out there in the world, and here in the body of Christ, you are redeemed. You are a redeemed sinner. I am a redeemed sinner. You are a redeemed sinner. And we are here gathered at the cross, and we lay our burdens down there. And we have worth and value to God. That is the most important set of eyes we need. Worth and value to our Lord in heaven, because we are redeemed. And he equips us by the Spirit of God. God is always wanting to equip us with the strength to do what is right for the church and for the kingdom. God is always wanting, every day, he wants to equip you with what you need to do what's right for the church and for the kingdom out there in the community in which we live. And serving in God's kingdom brings you everywhere. You see, it's not just here that we find a refuge. It's not a retreat here from the world. This is a place to be empowered and equipped to go out into the world. This is an equipping station to give you perspective and balance, to help you be kind, gracious, spirited, and eloquent. It's with something to say and show to the world. We are here all busy to be building up God's kingdom. And I love this picture because it's about a building site, but they're all different individuals and people, all different characters doing all kinds of things to do the building. We are all varied, and yet each of us want to be empowered and being gifted to be kind and kinder, to be gracious and more gracious. You know, the Lord's Prayer, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Forgive and be forgiven. And that's the graciousness. We need to be spirited and eloquent. We want to give everyone a voice. And we want everyone to know, no matter where they are valuable to God's kingdom. And serving God is about serving other people. God empowers us to go out and be of service to others. Ephesians 4:12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. The Lord is making his power work for us, to equip us as saints, to work in service and build up the body of Christ, and do this in every possible way. And praise God when it happens, and it happens well. And then we, all of us, go out into the world. And, you know, whether we're in a laboratory or whether we're teaching in a classroom, whether we're working at a laptop as a student or as a worker, you know, on a computer, whether we're a clerk in a store, whether we're a mechanic working on a car or a truck or something, or whether we're in public service. That's the last slide, is about public office. No matter what of these facets, and we have many more facets represented here, no matter what we're doing, you know, we're working and representing the kingdom of God in that place. We are the fragrance of Christ to help the world be a better place. When people encounter us, they should know that Jesus Christ resides in our hearts and that, you know, we have a worldview shaped and formed by him. And by knowing him and having him in us, we have a confession. We have a confession that Jesus is Lord, and we believe something that is quite out of this world. We believe Jesus is the Redeemer. He was born of a Virgin Mary. He walked on water, so there's miracles. There's something irrational. It's beyond science. It's beyond a world which may not understand those things, but we believe them. We believe in these miracles. We believe God working in these ways to bring the Messiah, Jesus Christ, into the world and be the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. God grants us special anointings and gifts so that we can be a good worshiping community. He has anointed Bill Wood and Hillary Guter to play keyboard for the church. Bill has done it for many years. Hillary's doing it presently. He's anointed Yuko and Irene to help lead our singing. And he's anointed Kim Volstead and Peter Knapp to do some teaching for us downstairs in our adult Sunday school. And other teachers are involved teaching the younger ages too. Thank you for your anointings and your giftings that you're able to share. And there are many, many more. 1 Corinthians verse 15 and following, verse 12 and following in chapter 12. Teaches that you cannot disallow yourself. To be a Christian is to be in this body, and here you are a crucial, recognized part of what God is doing. Let me read that verse 15 again. You cannot say, I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. You cannot say, I'm not an eye, I'm an ear, and I do not belong to the body. Every part of the body is crucial. Every part of the body is here to help us be the church in Guam today. And all the parts of the body are here to help us be effective as we go out of those doors to serve him in this greater community in the coming week. And we ought not to aspire to what we are not either. There are ways in which we need to follow our anointing. I know that when I began a journey to the calling of pastor, I had to first decide, was I supposed to be an engineer? Because I went to college to be an engineer. My father was an engineer. I have a brother who became an engineer. Oldest brother became an architect. So a technical field would have made sense. I could do mathematics, and, you know, you can make very good money if you're an engineer. But I knew that wasn't my calling. God had gifted me, had called me, and empowered me to become a pastor. And in order to find that road, I had to decide. I'm not an engineer, so if I'm going to be a pastor, I better enjoy being in church. I better know that this is going to work. I'm going to be able to share from Scripture what makes a difference in people's lives. That I can be part of people's discipling processes. That I'm going to enjoy being in church meetings and do, you know, the administration work that needs to be done at a church. That I'm going to like the shaping of worship and like welcoming people into this body of Christ by baptism and by profession of faith. Those are some of the elements of being a pastor. But you have to really just continue to say to the Lord, help me discern my road, Lord, because I just don't know where it's going to lead. And God along the way will help you find it, because he will place people in your lives. Many, many people were placed in my life by God to help me be led to this point of being a pastor. It didn't just happen overnight. There are many different parts to that story, and God knows how to do that. He knows how to guide you. He knows how to equip you. He knows how to help you find your way and your purpose. Remember that no eye can be an ear, and no nose can be a big toe. You know, it's just not the way it is. You have these parts to be part of a body, the most wonderful thing that God has made. We're made in his image. And every part belongs, and every part deserves its opportunity to shine in the kingdom of God. And that's what we are hoping to see. It doesn't matter from what position you're in or what place you feel you are at. For God, it becomes something transformative, and it gives us something higher than what we are. Confessing Jesus Christ means you belong here. And no one is more or less than the other part. I'm going to point to this slide because it's great. You know, for this person hanging on the cliff, she needs her toes. And she needs her fingers. And she needs her balance. She needs to also have the strategy of how she's going to try to climb this. And, you know, all parts are essential. So it is with the body of Christ. God has called us here. And all the parts are essential. And sometimes we will be missing parts. Parts of, you know, our body has changed over time. People come and people go. And we just pray always that God will bring through those doors the next person that we need. And that's what we're going to try to do. Be faithful to confess Jesus Christ in this place. And be good stewards of the gifts he has given. Don't change who you are. Find where you fit. I love the puzzle piece. Anyone worked on puzzles? COVID-19 kind of gave us puzzle time. Some people love puzzles. And if you're doing the blue sky, it's very hard to find where that piece of puzzle fits, or, you know, whole blended colors. Or some puzzles are very difficult. But I love this idea of the puzzle piece, because God will help us find our spot. He will find how we blend into the whole and how the picture becomes real. And he will know how to sew us into the place we're supposed to be. You need to be a good steward of who you are, how God has made you. And he will help us to be all put in the right place. You see, one person can learn notes of music and play the piano. Titus Liu. But another person knows how to play the strings of a cello. Seth Liu, brother. Another plays the harp, Sybil, and all the strings that are there. It's just an illustration of, and then there's someone who's glad to serve as a deacon in the church, helping with the finances, helping with the taking money, helping with the benevolence fund, the deacon's benevolence fund, which is trying to help those in need. They have a discernment, a gift for doing this, and are good at helping serve on council. We see them as gifted. We see them as able to contribute to the body of Christ and help us to confess Jesus Christ and to grow in Jesus Christ and to be closer to him. We have another person who's really good at welcoming people at the door. We were mentioning Amy, who has really taken on this role, and many others have served in that role, and we're so thankful for them. Another person is really faithful at just showing up and cleaning the church. And that invisible job is so important because it makes the church presentable for worship. And it shows that we are still taking good care of it. And another person is helping teach in Sunday school and etc. I can go on. All these parts are important. The nose, the ear, the mouth, every part of the body. Because we're all serving in the kingdom of God. And we get these gifts to use. One to teach, another to administrate, another to be helpful at church events, another to throw excellent beach parties, Ellis and Clara, another to write, another to think and defend the faith, another to share, knowing how to share what is their time or their resources, or to share their faith with you. Another person's really good at influencing and giving wisdom and advice. There are people you go to knowing that they, can you help me with this? And especially in some way to give some counsel, to give some advice of what to do as we go down the road. And another person is really good at bringing people in. We'll bring along a friend or someone to bring into church. And that is one of the main ways of the church grows. You know that? By someone convincing another person to come in to church and be with us. Well, the most important thing to remember is that we are doing these things all important to God's purpose. And we are doing this thing because we belong to Jesus and we want to represent him to each other and to the world. And as each of us has received a gift, let us use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. 1 Peter 4:10. God has liberally shared his grace with us. It comes in all kinds of forms. One of the things I love to do during a week is to say, I must remember to be mindful of where God has put a grace on my path. And that grace may come from someone who's not even in church. That grace may come from an experience, a thought. It can come in all kinds of forms, but God's very grace. And they come to us. We need to be good stewards of it in order to serve each other. And we are empowered by the Lord to be in the body of Christ. An important final word I have is this. We are all in this together as the body of Christ. Praise be to God and glory be to the Lord. Amen. Dear Lord, as we pray together here at the conclusion of this message, we pray for your illuminating Holy Spirit to make clear to us and confirm us that we are an essential part of this body of Christ. We pray that everyone will be one who feels valued and feel their worth in your sight. Thank you, O Lord, that you are always distributing your varied graces to us in our lives in very small ways and sometimes in very big ways. Help us never to underestimate you, Lord, because you are always going to be with us on our road and journey of faith. And we praise you, Lord, that this body of Christ is made up of so many different wonderful parts, beautiful parts, and each part has its essential role to play. Thank you, Father, that you are a good, good creator. And that thank you, Jesus, you are a great redeemer. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are a liberal giver of gifts. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.